Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are here with Sandy and Shelley in the studio and Tara Rye. We have been going through Luke 23, verses 26 through 49. And during the last session, a couple things that I think really spoke to me was the love and selflessness that Jesus displayed during his walk to the crucifixion. And also the people that were part of the crowds while he was walking to the crucifixion, and how their words actually validated the testimony of who Jesus really was, even though they were sneering and mocking him, yeah. You know, throughout the whole period of time that he was just enduring this just incredibly horrific.
It's just unbearable.
I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
It leaves me speechless, actually.
You know, I actually saw a verse this morning, Shelley, that actually references the fact, when you said that, just made me remember, in Corinthians, that talks about that there are some things that God will reveal to us that it just makes it hard to speak about. And, you know, there comes a time, you know, when that just occurs in our life. And so I think that when we do view the cross, we do stand speechless when we really grasp. And in our last session, we can just talk about it here. You know, it's the difference between seeing and recognizing. Because we have all of these people here. We have the bystanders. We have the women wailing. We have the religious leaders. We have the soldiers. We have the criminals. And they are all witnesses to what is occurring. They see with their own eyes, mm-hmm. that an innocent man is being killed. And in fact, the crowd started off with them pressing for him before Pilate and saying, no, we want him to be crucified, in verse 1 and verse 5 of this chapter. They are the very people that, it says the whole assembly rose and led him to Pilate. The crowds that are coming along and following. And then before Pilate, they accuse him, and it's false accusations. They're lying. They say, you know, we found him subverting our nation, that he opposes paying taxes. They're just lying all together. And then Pilate asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And it just, they're just after him. And then here in the, when they're going up to the cross, it says that they're just standing and watching. And the crowds just keep moving and going along. And as they're going and following along, they're seeing his story unfold and how he's handling it. And they hear him proclaim, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves, women. And then they see when he's put between the two criminals and he's crucified and hung on the cross. And as he is put where they take the big pole with the body on it and they drop it down into the hole, because there's a hole that they drop that into the ground. It's quite the jarring. And only nails holding his hands and feet in place. Him look out at the crowd and this prayer be spoken. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And I was going through this morning, and I was thinking, you know, he's saying that they're ignorant of what's occurring. And I thought, but God, that's not true. Right. And it makes me want to cry. They were not ignorant. They heard God proclaim twice at his once at his baptism and once at the transfiguration, that he is my son, whom I love, I'm well pleased, and I've chosen him. Listen to him. So they've heard the voice of heaven proclaim who he is. They were not ignorant in who he was. They saw him heal the blind and the mute and the deaf and the lame, and they saw him forgive sins. They saw what was occurring. And so I asked God, I'm like, God, what was it they were ignorant of? How were they ignorant? Because they were seeing all of this unfolding, yet they still did not recognize him. And I'm like, God, what is it? And then it occurred to me, they were ignorant of their role in his divine plan. Mm. God had a plan. They just didn't realize that their role in fulfilling that plan that his plan could not take place if they did not do what they did. And they made the choice. He so loved them that he said, I'm not going to make you choose to recognize me. I'm not going to make you choose to love my son. I'm going to give you the free will to do that. Their ignorance was as they didn't recognize their own role in God's divine plan. That like blew me away. And it made me think, how often have I been ignorant of my part in God's divine plan? And that can go both for the good and the bad. That can be where I was ignorant of things that I should not have done when God had a plan. But it can also be that I'm ignorant of the things of how God's using me for his plan, and I just can't see and recognize what Christ is doing on around me. And the point of this is that this is the fulfillment of what he moved forward to, and he was wishing forward to salvation. It was unto salvation. It was for the saving of souls. And the very ones that jeered and mocked and insulted him, and each of them, we can read these verses again. And so, Shelley, I want you to read verse 35. Sandy, I want you to read verse 36 and 38. And then I will read verse 39. And I want you to see how each of them actually challenge salvation. Okay?
Okay. Verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.
And the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar. And there was a written notice above him which read this, this is the King of the Jews.
So one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. In each of these cases, they tell him to do salvation. The religious leaders recognized he saved people before. The soldiers, they recognize him as the King of Jews, and they challenge him, save yourself. You know, you're the savior for the Jews. Why aren't you saving yourself? And then the criminal, he takes his insult to an even greater level. They say, the soldiers say, if you are. And the religious leaders say, if he is. But the criminal, the one that deserved the crucifixion for his behavior, he knows and he says, aren't you? He doesn't say if. He recognizes that he is the Christ, yet he does not humble himself. And he takes it a step further. He knows he's the one that saves, so he says, save yourself and save us too. Now, what I want you to understand, the next criminal, the other criminal on the other side, he rebukes him and he says, don't you fear God? Since we are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Two criminals, both of them recognized that he saved. One saw, one recognized. Mm-hmm. One was saved, the other was not. Now, how easy would it be to be in a situation where we know and hear of God, we know and hear of what Jesus has done? How many people are sitting in and they see and they know, but they're not saved? Because he recognized and he said, save us. He said, save us. But see, the difference was, is his was an insult. His was in mockery. Whereas the other one was, I'm a sinner in need of a savior.
That they're being punished justly.
Yeah.
For we are getting what our deeds deserve.
And that comes back to like head knowledge, heart knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of the time that I realized, and I say this often, when I read that even the demons believe. Mm-hmm. And I looked up the Greek, and the word for belief for a demon is the same as the word for belief for a believer. It's identical. The difference between a demon's belief and a believer's belief is the demon does not act in obedience to the Lord's commands, whereas a believer will walk in obedience. And I thought, wow. And you know, a lot of commentators will say, you know, that's the reason why, you know, I'm not saying the Antichrist, but when we are anti-Christ, we are an Antichrist. Mm-hmm. We if we are against him, then we are not for him. And that's what happened here on the cross. And this man that cried out to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus tells him, mm-hmm. today. So he said, when? Jesus said, when is not the issue. Mm-hmm. The moment he recognized he was a sinner and that Jesus was a savior, it was a today. For us as believers, when we, the moment we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, we have within us the kingdom of God. So it's a fulfillment now and a fulfillment, yes, later. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a far off thing. And so when he referred to paradise at this point, he is referring to that which will come, his heavenly abode. But the thing is the fulfillment happened today. And so I looked up, I was curious, when scripture refers to these situations. And so in the Old Testament, when it talks about paradise, you know, the different references to paradise, in Song of Solomon and chapter 4, verse 13, it's a park with trees. In Ecclesiastes 2:5, it's a park with trees. In Nehemiah, it's a park with trees. In Genesis 13:10, it's the garden of God. And in Genesis 2:8, it's the garden of Eden. So paradise is referred to in these places in the Old Testament as an actual garden. Now in Ezekiel 31:8, it references the future garden of God. It starts having that more what they call an eschatology, a future looking forward. But within the New Testament, it always references our final resting place. It is always when we're not from this earth, not in this earth, we will be in the presence of God. And in 2 Corinthians 12:4, it says, he was caught up in paradise and he heard inexpressible things man cannot permit. He just cannot speak. And so that was the verse I was telling you about, Shelley, that I couldn't find earlier when I said that I had read a verse about how, you know, sometimes we get so, we experience God in such a way we just can't speak it. Mm-hmm. That's the verse okay. that I was mm-hmm. talking about. Mm-hmm. And then Revelations 2:7 says that we have the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And remember what I said about the green tree? Mm-hmm. Now think about it. You know, because of Jesus, we now have the right to the tree of life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that connection there spiritually. So he tells him, he says, when? But Jesus says, today. It's done. So I'm thinking when I was praying, how many people out there might be listening that you have not realized that when Jesus went to the cross and he died, that it was for you. Mm-hmm. You've heard about it, but you have never owned the truth. It is as simple as if you don't understand, ask him, help me to recognize what you've done for me. Help me to understand. Increase my faith, O Lord. And he will reveal himself to you. So I would like to encourage you, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't wait, because just like the two criminals on the cross, it is appointed for every man to be born and it is appointed for every man to die. We do not know the day or the hour. And if today should be your day, you need to have this taken care of before you leave this earth. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you to come to know the Lord today. And it brings us to just an amazing fulfillment of, theologians call this, it's a really big word. Okay, so I'll just use it once. No, I might use it twice. It's soteriology, which is the theology of salvation. Mm-hmm. This passage of the crucifixion is filled with salvation. And we can see how it happens. And as it unfolds, that we'll look at later, you know, the centurion, he cries out, surely he must be righteous. Now, I read New American Commentary. They said, don't assume that means that he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know that, because a person could recognize Jesus as righteous and not necessarily believe in him. But for me, I thought, surely it had to be unto salvation. How could he watch that and say that without not? But right. Who am I to speak against a world famous commentator? I'm a nobody. I would like to believe in my Tara interpretation that it was unto salvation. And so as I was reading through it this morning, I thought, wow, Jesus' death, two people came to know the Lord. Mm. Now, how many other people? I don't know, but we're shown definitely the criminal, clearly. Mm-hmm. The centurion, it's questionable, but it's possible. But there had to have been other people. And, you know, and how often when we attend a funeral, we want it to be where that's what we're praying, is that God will use that person's death to lead other people right. to know right. the Lord.
Yep.
You know, and I
but
see.
But, you know, when we talk about that, too, it's like how death, in many cases, someone's death has reached way more people than they could have ever reached.
Mm-hmm, right.
As if they were still alive here on earth.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. And that's, you know, the thing is that's how the Lord works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of so many missionaries that have died on the field, and then all of a sudden the village comes to know the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, and while they were alive, they may have viewed themselves as failures, because they didn't see it, but God had a greater purpose. And that takes me back to when we were talking about Simon. We don't know when God takes us and puts us somewhere mm-hmm. that we are, you know, how we fall into his divine plan. But our call is that we need to make sure that we're like Simon, and that it's falling
behind.
Falling behind, carrying the cross. You know, I'm so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. And, you know, if you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. We have two websites, cultivatinghearts.org, and you can contact Shelley, Sandy, or myself through that web server. And then I have tararye.com. And if you'd like to, you could also join me on Facebook and Dialogue. I tend to post devotional thoughts on that, you know, nice and quick and simple. And so we're so glad that you're listeners. And we also want to just take time to say thank you to our sponsor, Open Door Mission, for the sacrifices that they make so that we're on the radio, and for the donors that give at the mission so that we can be on the radio. Come back next week, because what we're going to do is we're going to look at when Jesus says it is finished. And so we're going to meet him at the last moments, his last breath, and the last words he spoke. God bless.